Hi, and welcome to This is True Crime, y'all. I'm your host, Melissa Anderson, and today's case, as you know, with all of my cases, they're all pretty crazy, graphic, disgusting. This one is going to be more so than usual. No, there are no cannibals. However, there is disturbing details about offenses committed against children. This is your time to turn back. If you want to skip this episode, I do not blame you one little bit. However, I think this is a story that needs to be told. If you do want to listen to this episode and would like to skip more of the graphic details, I would say to skip the ending. At the very end, I will leave a little pause right before I read the judge's summary and verdict. I will, however, in this beginning part, let you know a little bit about how disturbing this is going to be, so you can kind of gauge for yourself if you would like to listen or not. This is a small portion of the transcript of the judge's summary. He is speaking to Ian Watkins and his two co-defendants, both mothers of the children who were victims in this story. Woman A, you are now 24. Your communications with Watkins start in August 2012. It is not long before the communications turn into child sexual abuse. There was talk of moving in together. Watkins said, quote, "If you belong to me, so does your baby," end quote. You responded, "Understandable. A mother-daughter slave duo worshiping you." Watkins said, "That's all she will know, a life of filth." Woman A, you said, "The good thing about babies is they put anything near their mouths and they start sucking it." She went on to talk about both her and her baby sharing Watkins' penis with their tongues. Ugh. The subsequent communications planned even more depraved activities for this little girl, including forcing her to engage in sex with animals, and how to take drugs defies belief. So yeah, just wait until you hear what other things were said between these two mothers, these two quote mothers, when the judge's summary is read in its entirety at the end. Ian David Karslake Watkins, this shitbag, was born in Merthyr Tydfil on July 30th, 1997. His family moved to Pontypridd when he was a youth. His biological father passed away when he was 5 years old, and his mother soon remarried. His childhood was unremarkable until he started to attend Hawthorne High School, where he met future bandmate Mike Lewis. Lewis and Watkins enjoyed rock and metal and led them to form the band Aftermath in 1991. They would play in a shed in Watkins' garden. Aftermath didn't really pan out, as they only played 2 gigs in the whole 2 years they had been together. Then Watkins was soon introduced to future bandmate Lee Gaze through a mutual friend, and the two formed another short-lived band called Fleshbind. While playing in this band, Watkins reunited with Mike Lewis, who was a drummer in a hardcore band called Public Disturbance, in 1995. By this time, Watkins and Gaze had left Fleshbind to create their own band, The Lost Prophets, who made their live debut in May of 1997 alongside Public Disturbance, with Watkins as the lead vocalist. In 1998, Watkins left Public Disturbance to concentrate on the newly named Lost Prophets, all lowercase letters and one word. He gained a first-class honors degree in graphic design from the University of Wales, and the Lost Prophets would eventually go on to sell 3.5 million albums. His band was known for shunning drinking and drugs. However, after the band was famous, it was soon revealed in a Cardiff Crown Court that the singer had become a determined and committed pedophile who also wanted to give children crack cocaine. Yes, you heard that correctly. I'm sure I could go on and on about his very famous career and, you know, a lot more in depth into his background. But honestly, I really just don't give a fuck about this guy. And I don't think that you will either after you hear more of his depravity. So, you know, just get a glass of wine, you know, have a smoke if you got them, you know, maybe find a soundproof room to go scream into for an hour after you listen to this episode. The authorities were notified, according to a former ex-girlfriend of his, that he had fantasies of abusing children in as early as 2008. In addition, there were many obscene posts on message boards written from the singer and from the fans. Ian Watkins' ex-girlfriend, 30-year-old Joanna, I cannot pronounce this last name, it's M-J-A-D-Z-E-L-I-C-S, I'm going to go with Majelix, but we're just going to call her Joanna, says that the Lost Prophets singer confided in her that he wanted to abuse children. Her relationship started with Ian Watkins after she contacted the Lost Prophets MySpace account in 2006 to arrange for tickets for a gig. Things turned sexual pretty quickly, and it soon became a client and escort relationship. She claims she repeatedly warned police that as far back as 4 years ago, before he was arrested, his sexual desires were becoming increasingly dark. She told the court how she went straight to a South Wales police department and made a complaint, but they ignored me and said I needed evidence. I warned them that this man was a danger to young kids, but they thought I was just a troublemaker. I couldn't believe how indifferent the police were. It was like they were taking his side and dismissing me as some kind of a stalker. I even told Ian I had gone to the police, and we argued, but he was so cocky, he didn't think the police would touch him, and he was right. It was then that I realized I had to turn off any feelings I had for him and turn on my escort mode. She says how she was determined to save more children from this monster. Joanne told the Daily Mirror, Ian would chillingly boast to her how he used fame and glamour to prey on his army of young fans. He said he loved turning his fans into what he called super fans, women who would go so far as to offer up their own children, for the pedophile's sick fantasies. Now that we know she's such a fucking good Samaritan, let's look at what actually happened. Because to me, this sounds like she is full of shit and is only trying to cover her ass at a later time. This article makes her sound like a saint. But in reality, it seemed to me that she was fueling his desires and indulging him and taking his money where she could. And I'm not the only one to believe this, because she was put on trial herself, accused of possessing and distributing child abuse sexual images. She claims that she was trying to trap her former lover after he was not arrested following her police reports. Watkins talked of getting her pregnant so that he could rape their baby, and they discussed child abuse together while having sex, they told the court. The jury heard how she went to the police with one of the two women convicted with Watkins. Speaking from the witness stand, she said that she told police that this woman was totally obsessed with Watkins and her baby will be raped by him. But again, an officer dismissed her claim by saying she must have really been upset by her ex-boyfriend. Joanna says that police had labeled her a nut job, with harassment orders from Watkins' lawyers calling it complete bullshit. He was getting off on the fact that he was getting away with it, she said. In an online sex chat revealed later in court, the pair discussed incest while acting out being brother and sister, cross-dressing, detailing child abuse, and discussing kidnapping a brother and sister from outside a school, killing one, and raping the other. Joanna told the jury how Watkins described raping a 12-year-old girl in L.A. That Christmas, she claimed, he sent her a naked photograph of a 5-year-old girl who he described as, quote, super flirty, end quote, posing with a bag of cocaine. He just said, "You know what little girls are like," she told the court. "My heart sank because it made me ill. I was completely confused. I was totally in love with the man, yet he sent me this picture. How could I be in love with a man that sends that image?" And he lied, saying he only got her to pose with it as a joke. She carried on this relationship with the singer into 2010, when she claimed he tried to get her to snort heroin before showing her a film on his laptop. Quote, "The first thing I saw was a child crying and screaming, and I saw a video of a young girl being raped," end quote. "I looked at him and I just saw an evil smirk on his face. He was looking for a reaction, and all I did was cry, and I said, 'You have to go.'" This is when she decided to play Watkins at his own game, saying she had never met anyone as sick and depraved as that man. She was charged with possessing indecent images of children, 2 charges of distributing images, and a charge of encouraging and assisting the distribution of an indecent image of a child. Following 14 hours of deliberation, the jury at Cardiff Crown Court cleared her of all of the charges. Throughout his trial, music industry personnel said they had anonymously reported him many times for his strange actions and gross pedophilic rantings before his arrest. He was known to abuse his star status and believed he was invincible, according to a music writer who met him several times. The woman had the following to say about Watkins: that Watkins had told her about his graphic sexual preferences, including sadomasochism, and that the singer of the band had branded one of her friends as being too old for him when she was only 23, and how she had first heard rumors about his depraved abuse of children as far back as 2004. The woman, who was anonymous in the article, told the reporter that one of her close friends dated Watkins, but broke the relationship off after she was disgusted by his fetishes for child and animal porn. So much so that she was always posting things on Facebook about it. She said she broke up with him because he liked children and he liked bestiality, and she was grossed out by it. Another person who wished to remain anonymous said they met Watkins on numerous occasions and described how fangirls would dress like strippers to approach him after shows. Speaking just days after Watkins pled guilty, she said, "From what I would see backstage at their shows, their fan base was quite young. There were lots of girls who looked about 13, but were dressed up and were being chatted up by him and hanging around him all the time. They would do anything, basically, to be with him. They were little kids. It made me feel so ill. They were completely infatuated by him. I've never heard young girls speak that way. They would do anything he wanted, even satanic stuff. I would go on to fan forums and read things where girls would say, I wish I was younger. He would like me more. I wish I could give him anything he wanted. Watkins told a rock music writer about his extreme sexual passions and filming himself having sex. He was talking about extreme stuff, she said. I'm quite a sexual person, but when I talked about my personal experiences, he said it was something out of Mary Poppins. He went into detail about really graphic things he liked, but I was really grossed out by it. She sent Watkins a message after a friend of hers drunkenly met him backstage and took her clothes off. I emailed his MySpace. Yep, that case is this old. And said, I'm really sorry. My friend was crazy that day. He said, she's too old for me. It kept escalating and getting more extreme, she said. I saw him by their tour bus in 2010. I knew he wasn't into drugs before, but I noticed he seemed even more unhinged. When I had met him in 2006, he seemed normal. But when I met him again in 2010, he seemed completely weird. I think he thought he was invincible. He has a very big ego and always thought he was above everything else and everyone else. He had some weird sociopathic tendency to think he was above the law and everything. He didn't come across as horrible. He came across as charismatic, charming, and into the person he was talking to. He was just very confident and believed that whatever he did, he would be okay. He thought he was a rock god, and he thought he would get away with everything. The writer went on to say that she described the moment she discovered Watkins had been held over child sexual abuse claims. When I heard the allegations last year at Christmas, I wasn't shocked it was child abuse. Somehow things connected and made sense. People like me weren't surprised. The rumors of Watkins' behavior had been going on for quite some time. I just don't know why it didn't come out sooner. The rest of the rock music industry wasn't shocked either. Turns out a lot of people had heard about his sick pastime and just really didn't give a fuck that he was out here talking about raping small children. People in the industry could see how it made sense. He has always been a real pervert and wanted to go to the most extreme lengths. In 2012, the police executed a search warrant for a drug charge at Ian Watkins' home. There, among his items, they found a strange encrypted USB drive, and once they cracked it, evidence of his truly sickening behavior became immediately apparent. GCHQ experts accessed the material on the disk, which featured videos of sexual abuse, including the attempted rape of a baby. South Wales Police Detective Chief Inspector Peter Doyle reported that officers recovered a total of 27 terabytes of data storage from computers and other devices found in Watkins' possession. Now, for those of you who are not computer literate, such as myself, a 1 terabyte drive is capable of holding 472 hours of broadcast video quality footage or 150 hours of high definition recording. 27 terabytes would equal 12,744 hours of broadcast quality videos or 4,050 hours of high definition videos. The 27 terabytes Watkins had even put the data storage held by the South Wales Police Department, which has 2,862 officers and 1,631 support staff, to shame. Y'all, he had more data storage than a 3,500-person police department. An entire department. He was found in possession of 90 child abuse images, 24 of which fell into the most severe category. He also possessed 22 separate bestiality images. The detective chief inspector Doyle also said that Watkins was very multimedia and computer savvy and had made use of cloud-based storage to hide his other pedophilic images from prying eyes. Here's something you might want to make note of. Watkins had used reference to his child abuse as his password. This fucking scumbag used the password "I fuck kids." Literally, that is his password. I-F-U-C-K-K-I-D-S. Wow. In a statement, the detective said, "There is a message there to people. That message is, you can encrypt away as much as you'd like, but do not think you are safe. There are people who will find a way into the device, and you will be brought to book." South Wales Police, who had codenamed their investigation Operation Globe, said detectives had spoken to witnesses around the world and would continue to investigate Watkins in case there were other victims. Doyle also said, quote, "This investigation has uncovered the most shocking and harrowing child abuse evidence I have ever seen. There is no doubt in my mind that Ian Watkins exploited his celebrity status in order to abuse young children. Today's outcome does not mark the end of our investigations, and we will work tirelessly to identify any other victims." Officially, on December 19th of 2012, Watkins was charged at Cardiff Magistrates Court with conspiracy to engage in sexual activity with a one-year-old girl, a one-year-old child, and possession and or distribution of indecent images of children and extreme animal pornography. He was remanded in custody, as were his two female co-accused. His barrister or lawyer said Watkins would deny the accusations. On December 31st, he appeared at Cardiff Crown Court via video link from HM Prison Park and was remanded in custody until March 11th of 2013. The case was then adjourned until May, with the trial date set for July 16th. At a hearing on June 3rd, he pled not guilty. On June 6th, it was announced that the trial would start on the 25th of November and was expected to last at least a month. A previous application for the court venue to be moved outside of Wales was denied. On the 26th of November, Watkins pled guilty to attempted rape and sexual assault of a child under 13, but not guilty to rape. This was accepted by the prosecution. He further pleaded guilty to 3 counts of sexual assault involving children, 6 counts of taking, making, or possessing indecent images of children, and 1 count of possessing an extreme pornographic image involving a sex act on an animal. A sentencing hearing held at Cardiff on December 18th of 2013, Watkins' attorney said that he had no recollection of the case involving the attempted rape, but had, quote, "belatedly realized the gravity of what had happened," end quote, after having developed an obsession with videoing himself having sex. What that has to do with attempted rape of a child, I have no fucking idea, though. Watkins, a user of crack cocaine and crystal meth, maintained he could not remember the incident, but the court was told this could have been because he was high as a kite. Watkins later explained he was faced with a choice before pleading guilty. It was like either I go up there and say, "Come on, it wasn't that bad. Nobody got hurt," or try to win them over with my charm and end up saying, "I was off my head and don't remember anything. I'm going to put out a statement on the 18th just to say it was mega lols," after adding, "I do not know what everyone is getting so freaked out about." And he thinks people are just going to believe that. It wasn't that bad. I just tried to rape a baby. Okay. I mean, I knew he was a fucking moron, but I guess even I thought he would plead not guilty or reason of insanity, or I guess maybe they don't have the Alford plea over there. I'm not sure. Two women who were tried and charged along with Watkins received 14 and 17 year sentences. And it's reported that these women willingly gave their children to Watkins for use as his personal sexual playthings. These women were not identified. They're saying it is to, you know, help the children remain anonymous, but it is absolutely enraging to me that we will never know when these women are up for parole or out of jail or around other children. Their names have been sealed, probably due to the fact they wouldn't last long in prison or when they get out. I would gladly be part of an angry mob with pitchforks and torches waiting at the prison gates. And let me tell you this, you will too, after you hear the judgment. You will definitely feel the same way. So don't come at me until you listen to that, all the way to the end, please. The defense attorney for woman A was Jonathan Fuller. He told the court that his client was just a vulnerable 17-year-old girl who allowed herself to be manipulated and corrupted by this co-defendant, who, as you can see from her account to the probation officer, introduced her to a world of drugs, sometimes pressing it upon her, including injecting her with heroin to facilitate his sexual gratification. He went on to say, ultimately, she allowed herself to be taken to a very dark place. Watkins stared at the floor of the court as Mr. Fuller addressed him. The defense for Councilwoman B, Christine Lang, said that her client had been a very immature young woman suffering from an undiagnosed personality disorder and postpartum depression. She, too, told the court how he flattered her client and promised her a life she could never have dreamed of. Brought up during her testimony was some disgusting remarks made by Watkins. He described himself to woman B as your master and told her, you and your daughter now belong to me. If you heard someone say this, wouldn't you fucking run? Who hears this and is like, sounds good, master? Oh, as a mother, I am just, ugh. I don't know how I would act, but it wouldn't be like, okay, cool. Anyway, I digress. The prosecution showed during trial that the two women sexually abused their children at Watkins' request and were prepared to make the children available to him. They also brought up a plot to rape a baby while the rock star was staying at a 4-star hotel shortly after appearing on BBC Radio 1. Again, his two co-defendants and the mothers of the victims received only 14 and 17 years, respectively, in prison. This is not near enough, in my opinion. I do understand these were young women. They were preyed upon. They probably were groomed. I don't understand their willingness to participate in sexual acts with their own children and allowing their babies to be harmed in the most awful way by this fucking guy. Now, Watkins was guilty, and he did immediately appeal. His appeal was rejected. Lord Justice Pitchford, wow, that sounds like so hoity-toity, said, there were offenses against infant children of such shocking depravity that a very lengthy sentence of imprisonment was demanded, notwithstanding the absence of physical injury. It is not demonstrated that the total sentence of 29 years, together with the extended license period, was arguably excessive. Accordingly, the application in his case is refused. a spokesperson for the National Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Children, said, "It's right that the tough sentences originally given to Watkins and his co-defendants have been upheld today. They reflect the severe damage caused by the two women and Ian Watkins, a highly manipulative and devious sex offender." He also added, "If Watkins had 1 ounce of dignity, he'd put his efforts into helping the police identify any other potential victims and not trying to reduce his sentence." We're going to get into the inquiry about his celebrity status and how it possibly prevented him from being brought to justice sooner. Gross misconduct charges have been served on 7 police officers as a part of this investigation. They include 3 from the South Yorkshire Police Department, 2 from the Bedfordshire Police Department, and 2 from the South Wales Police Department. Independent Police Complaints Commission, or the IPCC, Commissioner Jan Williams said, "We are continuing to gather and analyze information in all 3 investigations in order to establish what steps were taken by police in response to the allegations made against Ian Watkins, and whether he could or should have been brought to justice sooner, and whether his celebrity status had any impact on those investigations." The IPCC said it had received a substantial amount of documentation from the 3 agencies involved, which was being analyzed by investigators. The inquiry would look at complaints about how South Yorkshire Police handled the 3 reports made to the force between March and May 2012, which all contained allegations against Watkins and potential evidence. It would also look at how Bedfordshire Police dealt with the information from a member of the public who reported an allegation of child abuse against Watkins in October of 2012. A spokesperson said, "We have now conducted 2 interviews with a detective sergeant from South Wales Police about his actions in relation to information about Watkins. We anticipate he will be interviewed again in the near future." South Wales Police and South Yorkshire Police said they were cooperating fully with the IPCC investigation. The Bedfordshire Police Department had this to say in their defense. "At the time of the original investigation, there was insufficient evidence to apply to the magistrate for a warrant. A medical examination of the child did not reveal any evidence of abuse at that time. However, information was shared with partner agencies, including South Wales Police, and child protection processes were followed." The IPCC did publish a report in the summer of 2016 and said that 3 detectives from the South Wales Police Force should face disciplinary action after they failed to act on earlier allegations of abuse by Watkins from 2008 till his arrest. Another report published in August 2017 found that police had failed a number of times between 2008 to 2012 to act on reports of Watkins' behavior. In that report, they quoted a detective who said that Watkins had a number of fans and ex-girlfriends making allegations that, when investigated, are false. In the conclusion of that report, it is said, quote, "The consequence of the force's failings was arguably that a predatory pedophile offended over an extended period of time. The evidence obtained in this investigation suggests that South Wales Police were faced with a litany of reports about his behavior, yet in some instances did not carry out even rudimentary investigation, made errors and omissions, and missed opportunities to bring him to justice earlier than he ultimately was," end quote. South Wales Police Assistant Chief Constable Jeremy Vaughan said his force entirely accepts and regrets the findings of the report. "Well, yeah, I bet you do now. I mean, what did you do about this before, though? So I was going to save the summary judgment until the end, but I've decided I'm going to put it in here right now. So let's get prepared for that. It's a lot to unpack. It is fucking terrible. It is gross, and it's going to make me want to throw up when I read these things out. I still have a lot to get to, which I'll do in a second part after the summary judgment. And the second part will be released later today or tomorrow, depending on how long it takes me to edit this dang thing. So I'm going to play a little intro, a little music, and then the summary judgment will be read. Case number 62CA1726112, the Law Courts at Cardiff at Cathays Park, December 18th, 2013, the Honorable Mr. Justice Royce presiding, between the Queen versus Ian Watkins and B&P, as they are going to be known here. These are the women who are the co-defendants. Sentencing remarks for R.V. Watkins and P&B. Sentencing remarks, Mr. Justice Royce. Number one, those who have appeared in these courts at the bar or on the bench over many years see and hear a large number of horrific cases. This case, however, breaks new ground. Number two, any decent person looking at and listening to the material here will experience shock, revulsion, anger, and incredulity. What you three did plumbed new depths of depravity. Three, you, Watkins, achieved fame and success as the lead singer of the Lost Prophets. You had many fawning fans. That gave you power. You knew you could use that power to induce young female fans to help satisfy your apparently insatiable lust and to take part in the sexual abuse of their young children. Away from the highlights of your public performances lay a dark and sinister side. 4. What is the background? Count 18 dates back to March 2007. You met TT after a Lost Prophets concert when she was a 16-year-old virgin. The prospect of taking her virginity excited you. You got her to dress in a schoolgirl's outfit, and you videoed her and you having oral, vaginal, and anal sex. You asked her whether she enjoyed being your underage slut. At the end, you urinated over her face and told her to drink it. That gives some insight into your attitude to young females at that time over 5 years before the counts relating to B&P. Count 19 dates back to August 2008. The girl KJ was another fan aged 16. You videoed her having oral sex with you. She is then seen snorting white powder, which you told her was cocaine. The taking of drugs linked with your sexual activities is a recurring theme. Count 31 relates to 90 indecent photos of children. They include 45 at level 4 and 2 at level 5. The age range of the children is from 2 to 14 years. Oh, God. Count 32 involves images and videos of extreme pornography. There are 22 images of bestiality, including oral and vaginal sex with dogs. Number 5. You, B, were only 19 when you met Watkins in late 2011. The communications between you two in March and April 2012 are seriously disturbing. That you were manipulated by Watkins may be obvious, but you were a mother. Your infant was only 10 months old. A mother naturally loves, protects, shields, nurtures, and cherishes. Your infant would have trusted you implicitly. You totally betrayed that trust. What did you do? You had detailed discussions with Watkins about the sexual acts to which the two of you were going to subject your infant. Number 6. You told the police you met up with Watkins at the Copthorne Hotel in Cardiff. On the 21st of March, Watkins says, "Come down this weekend and we can fuck him up again." You text back saying, "Okay, prepare yourself, people. This makes me want to throw up. Tell me if you want to get your dick in our boy." You had previously referred to getting your boy child high on ice, in other words, methamphetamines. Number 7. This is what led up to the session at the K West Hotel in London on the night of 2nd, the morning of the 3rd of April, recorded on the video. What did you do? You presented your baby to him so that he could try to rape him, first in the mouth, then in the anus. Watkins can be seen spitting on the boy's bottom to facilitate his attempt. You can be heard and seen encouraging him. Could there be a greater betrayal? Oh my God, what a murder this lady. Number 8. And then what did you do? You took your little boy's penis in your mouth and gave him oral sex. You then took the boy's hand and put it on your own vagina. Watkins then masturbated the boy. The planning and graphic detail are bad enough. The video of what you were both doing is an aggravating factor. The enjoyment both of you can be seen to derive from what you were doing is both sickening and incomprehensible. Number 9. What happened after this? On 24th of May, you send Watkins a message saying, "The boy is ready to be abused." Number 10. On the 2nd of August, his message is, "To be honest though, I think we've gone easy on him so far. Time to teach him and make him learn to love it." Oh God. The evidence indicates you met at the Maldron Hotel in Cardiff. Then on the 9th of September, you sent Watkins a photo of you licking your son's penis. Count 4 and 7 relate to this. All in all, it is a dreadful catalog of abuse of a previously innocent boy to satisfy your own interests and lusts. Number 11. Watkins and P. You, P, were a little older than B. You are now 24. Your communications with Watkins start in August 2012. It is not long before the communications turn to child sex abuse. There was talk of moving in together. Watkins said, "If you belong to me, so does your baby." You responded, "Understandable. A mother-daughter slave duo worshiping you." Watkins said, "That's all she will know. A life of filth." Oh, God. P said, "The good thing about babies is put anything near their mouth and they start sucking it." She went on to talk about both her and her baby sharing Watkins' penis with their tongues. The subsequent communications, planning even more depraved activities for this little girl, including forcing her to engage in sex with animals and how to take drugs, defy belief. It is unfucking believable, actually. This pee was your own flesh and blood you were talking about. Watkins, you referred to the girl as "my little fuck toy." And that sums up how you regarded her, not as a human being, but simply as a sexual object there for your pleasure. You, Watkins, then said that you could not wait to get mother and daughter taking crack cocaine. You spoke of whoring her out to fat old men who would pay thousands. You went on, "She needs to know mummy and daddy don't love her. She is just there to make us come." You spoke of torturing her for fun. I mean, does anyone else want to rip this dude to shreds with their hands yet? Just me? Okay. Count 11 and 13 relate to the taking of photos by P of the little girl's genitalia and sending them to you, Watkins. Count 14 relates to you, P, penetrating your daughter's vagina with your finger and sending a photo of that and similar images to Watkins. Your response, Watkins, was to say that you could not wait to stretch her. God, okay. You know what? I'll be back in a moment, guys. I really feel like puking, and that's saying something considering all the other cases that I've done. This is just the most horrifying thing I've ever heard of someone saying about a small child. And it gets worse, y'all. If you didn't think it could get worse, well, it gets worse. So if you want to turn it off now, like I said, I won't even blame you. I won't. I just feel like these are the judge's remarks. These are the things that happened, even though I don't enjoy repeating them. I do feel like this just shows how sick these individuals are. 13. The lengthy split-screen Skype session on the 12th of September is again very disturbing viewing and listening. You, Watkins, encourage P to spit on her finger and penetrate her daughter. You, P, do just that with apparent enjoyment. Watkins is masturbating throughout. That is count 8. 14. You have both pleaded guilty to conspiring to rape the little girl and to conspiring to sexually assault her. The evidence is compelling that you, P, took your infant to meet up with Watkins at the Travel Lodge in Caerphilly on the 2nd of October and or the Radisson in Cardiff on the 23rd of October. What happened here is not recorded. You, for a long time, lied, saying you had never met up with him. You now say you did, but you left your baby with someone else. The evidence to me is compelling that you took your baby, but I do not deal with you on that basis, as I bear in mind that you have been charged with conspiracy rather than completing the offenses. Let there be no mistake, however. This plea means you accept that the two of you agreed that the little girl should be raped by Watkins, and you both intended that should take place. You, Watkins, initiated and orchestrated the appalling abuse, but you, P, betrayed your daughter for your own selfish ends. A fucking men. 15. Discount for plea. You, B, are entitled to the standard 1/3 discount as you entered your plea at the first reasonable opportunity. Watkins and P waited until just before the jury was sworn in on the second day. It is arguable that the case was so overwhelming that you should receive no credit, but I will give you the conventional 10%. 16. Dangerousness. First, Watkins. The PSR. You spoke to the PSR of your desire to shock and your craving to push sexual boundaries. This craving was fueled by your use of cocaine and methamphetamine, which increased your sexual aggression. You spoke of not knowing to what extremes you would have gone but for your arrest. It is difficult to imagine anything much worse. The author concludes, Mr. Watkins presents a high risk of causing serious physical, sexual, emotional, and psychological harm to children, both male and female, and to women, specifically his female sexual partners. The author also says, it is also my assessment that the child victims in this case appear to be coincidental to his need to dominate and test out the extent to which his sexual partners would collude and participate in his sexual interests. Psychiatric report. Miss O'Neill told me on the last occasion They had a psychiatric report, but it needed updating in light of the change in plea. There has been put before me a short report from Dr. Huckle prepared after visits to Watkins in September and October. It refers to a report by a psychologist, S. Van Skoyak. It does not deal with the issue of dangerousness, and Miss O'Neill specifically does not ask for any adjournment to obtain further such evidence. 17. I bear in mind a number of factors. Number 1, the facts of these offenses against these babies are enormously serious. The offending dates back to 2007. The delight that Watkins evidently has when engaging in the most terrible offenses involving tiny children and his need to dominate any sexual partner and his corruptive influence over young females using the drugs in combination with sexual assaults. The interest in extreme pornography. The almost complete lack of remorse. In this last respect, the evidence of the phone conversations after the guilty pleas on the last occasion is enlightening, and don't worry, guys, we're going to get to those. There is one further matter of concern. One of the passwords you chose, which needed the assistance of GCHQ to break, was I fuck kids. I have no hesitation in concluding that there is a significant risk to the public, in particular to young females and children, of serious harm occasioned by the commission by you of further specified offenses. That risk is high. 18. B. There is a psychiatric report from Dr. McFarlane, dated 13/12/13. There is a reference in that report to your infatuation with Watkins and to his strong influence in your drug taking with him. The future risk of you reoffending in a similar fashion is assessed as medium. It is not considered that you were suffering from a mental illness at the material time. The PSR, the author's assessment, is that you pose a high risk of causing serious harm. The specific risk would be failure to protect children from others and sexual abuse by you. It is said, however, that you appear genuinely devastated for the harm you have caused your child and how this future will be affected. And you fucking should. Gross ass human being. Okay, rant over. We're going to go on to the next one. Number 19, P. I have read the report from clinical psychologist Dr. Krelges, dated the 1st of December, 2013. That was prepared at a time when you were still protesting your innocence of these offenses. There is an addendum dated 17th of December. The psychologist concluded that you had a mixed personality disorder. She also considered it likely that you used your daughter as a tool to secure Watkins' acceptance of you. She considered that in the long term, you would benefit from an opportunity to engage in psychological interventions targeting your personality disorder and sexual offending. The risk of you reoffending in a similar manner is assessed as relatively low. I don't agree with that. Just throwing that in there. The assessment given is that you pose a medium risk of harm to children according to the PSR, based on your current behavior and the fact that you no longer have access to your own children or your own child who was most at risk. Number 20, mitigation. Watkins, you are aged 36 and have no previous convictions. Your mitigation is your late plea. I have also taken into account that through your offenses over the last 6 years, you have lost a valued position with your group. I also take note of the letters written on your behalf from those who know a different side of you. But also, like, who the fuck cares? No one cares about the, quote, other side of Ian Watkins. After what we just heard about him and the disgusting things he had people do to children, that he wanted to do to children, that he probably did do to children, I don't care if he started charities all over the world. The point is that he is a pedophile. A disgusting, gross pedophile. Oh. Well, y'all, I thought I was going to be able to get through this whole judgment and summering. Unfortunately, I can't listen to any more of this bullshit about their good characters and genuine remorse after all the terrible things that we just heard about them doing to their own children, to their significant others. I can't. So please stay tuned for the second episode drop. It will be the remainder of this sentencing judgment, so you can find out just how long he got. Hope it's forever. Rest in distress, like Jesus. I hope they put him in Gen Pop. I hope they get the crap beat out of them daily. So again, thanks for listening, and please hit like and subscribe on whatever platform you use. Please feel free to share my podcast. It genuinely means a lot and helps me out as a newbie podcast host. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you next time.